Well, you know, the enemy is on a campaign to get into your head, into your thoughts, and to do his dirty deeds. And he wants to keep us distracted. He doesn't want you living out God's purpose for your life. So he's seeking for access to anyone who would in any way would give him access through any type of compromise. You know, the enemy is not wanting you to hear from God, so he's looking to distract you and to get you so preoccupied with life and the things of life, the cares of this life, if you will, that you're no longer focusing on that which really matters the most, and that is the will of God for your life. How many know that the enemy sometimes can deceive you with good things? You've ever heard the term, you know, too much of a good thing? Well, that can be true. And so it requires personal discipline as a child of God, as a disciple of the Lord, to know when to say enough is enough. And I need to put the toys down and I need to do, you know, what God is telling me to do. I need to prioritize His will above my own. Because we're on a race, like Paul said. We only have a certain amount of time before the finish line. And so what you do today matters. Because the enemy would love to just get us into a mode of thinking that tomorrow I'll change. Tomorrow I'll commit myself. And each day that goes by, he continues to keep the narrative before you. Not now, but later. And before you know it, you're looking back at so many years and saying, where have the years gone? And I don't want to finish my race and say, what did I do with my life? Because when you take your last breath, what you have sown, what you have given, what you have done in the name of the Lord, in agreement with His will, is the only thing that's going to remain. And so the enemy is a thief, and he would just love to steal your inheritance by getting you preoccupied, distracted by lesser things that may not in and of themselves be evil things, but just too much of a good thing, so that the cares of this life can choke us spiritually, rob us of what really matters the most. And that is the will of God, the purpose of God for me. I don't want to finish my race with the job half done or the mission of God half accomplished. And you know, the enemy wants us to be half-hearted Christians. He wants us to be lukewarm. And he does that through often not just evil things, but good things too. And I think people that have walked with the Lord who know what's morally right and acceptable, what is good before the Lord, you know, are more prone to be choked out by good things than the things that are obviously evil to us. Are you hearing me today? So the title of the message is Staying Focused, Staying Focused. And you know, all of us have been inspired by somebody that we've looked up to. Someone who's maybe had a great achievement in this world. God really desires that every one of us are successful in life. But again, the most important thing is that you and I are successful in accomplishing the will of God, the purpose of God for our lives. And so people that are successful are people that are focused. Focused people are successful. People that achieve are people that have learned how to focus on a goal. And you need to have a goal in life. You need to have short-term goals and long-term goals. There's nothing wrong with setting a goal in this world, for example, taking care of your family, maybe preparing for retirement. But the most important goal is the goal that God has set before us, the prize that He set before us, His purpose for us, that we accomplish that, amen, and that we make that our number one priority. And God said if we would seek Him above everything else, put Him first in our lives, then He would take care of the other things that we need in this world. Matthew 6:33, you can quote it with me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now in Philippians 3:13, very familiar passage, I want us to focus on this today. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. What does he focus on? Forgetting the past and what? Looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past. Let's say that together. Forgetting the past, looking forward, right? Very important. Because if you live in the past, you won't accomplish God's will for you in the present. And you won't finish well. Because the enemy knows sometimes that he can keep us bound by what happened before in our lives. Well, you don't know how bad things are and how I was abused and how badly I was treated and woe is me. And he wants to get you into a funk and he wants to focus on something that you can't do a thing about. You can't change anything that's happened in the past. You need to learn how to go on with your life. Amen. Forgetting those things that are behind. You know, sometimes you're sitting alone. You're by yourself. Idleness, you know. And all of a sudden, the enemy starts to sow some old seeds, right? Try to get those seeds of your past. Maybe try to entice you with something that you used to do even, that you've long since repented of. Have you ever had that happen? Been tempted? Sure. And if we allow ourselves to focus in the wrong place, well, that's going to be the fruit that we receive in life. If we're not listening to the voice of God, we're not navigating by His Spirit, then we can easily be distracted and detoured and actually miss out on the opportunities that God has given us in this world to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So I'm continually speaking this way because I want you to understand what really matters is that, you know, soon and very soon, we're going to take our last breath. Well, whether that's 50, 60, 70 more years for some of you, I don't know. But it could be another day. We may have a day left. What are we going to do with the time and the opportunity that God has given us? So Paul said in verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. So in order to accomplish God's will for your life, you have to be disciplined. You know, your mind has to actually be trained to submit to the Spirit of the Lord. You have to get control of your thought life. You have to train your mind even to concentrate and to think. You know, in this age of tweeting and texting and instant this and instant that, one of the things that we're losing is the ability to concentrate for any amount of time. And it is demonic because the enemy knows that in order to hear from God, you're going to have to settle yourself down and you're going to have to stay focused. And you're going to have to shut out all distractions. Amen. When we come together and we worship, we should be disciplined enough to say, I'm shutting out all the other distractions and we're going to have I'm having communion with my Lord right now. Because the enemy will offer you all kinds of things to do during the service or thoughts that come back in your head about something that happened, you know, just before you left home or whatever, or you're roasting the oven, whatever it might be. You got to get your mind disciplined. You have to say, I'm going to control my mind. Why? Because God has given you the power of His Holy Spirit to live a disciplined life. Amen. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and what? Self-control. Amen. Which means a sound mind, right? So we can control ourselves, but we have to work at disciplining ourselves, amen, and learning how to think again. Come on, somebody. Because the devil wants to rob people of their critical thinking too, you know, that you just kind of hear something and you go with it. Because, well, you don't want to have to go out and check it out yourself, but it sounded right, so it must be true. How many people are listening to a lie because they never really checked into it? It just seemed like it was true. Because somebody who was very clever at deceiving somebody to believe a lie was successful in getting in their head, sowing them in a lie, and without them even being critical about it and saying, is this from God or not? We just say, well, it sounded right. And it doesn't matter who the preacher is even. All right? How many know all of us need to guard ourselves? Even what you hear me say. Amen? It needs to line up with the Spirit and the Word. God wants us to be focused so that we can accomplish His mission for our lives. Remember Nehemiah. You know, he had to remain focused in his mission in order to complete the rebuilding of the wall. He had many obstacles to overcome before his mission would be accomplished. Some of the things that he encountered, the oppositions, were, first of all, he had difficulty with critical people, with people that would criticize him negatively, all right? Not constructive criticism, but to tear down, to discourage. He had to face cruel mockers. You know, when he had set himself to rebuild the wall, to do the will of God, to set himself to do the mission to which God had separated him for, amen? Then the enemy right away will come in and try to discourage through criticism, through mockery. I remember when I was trying to get my life right back in my early days in the Army, and I had a friend that got radically saved and he was trying to get me saved. And I remember I finally gave in and said, okay, I'll go to your Bible study. Or I'll do your, you know, I'll check out what you're doing. And yet, you know, it's funny, but right after I started to do the right thing, I had my friends start to criticize and to mock. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a holier than thou now, you know. And I allowed my friends to talk me out of pursuing God any further. Amen. Because at that time, to me, my friends are more important than God. Because I was deceived in my mind. I didn't understand that God would bring true friends into my life if I would pursue Him. Amen. People that I could trust. Isn't it good to know people that you can trust? Do you know anybody you can trust? Yeah. She shook her head no as she looked at me. I don't know what that meant, but yeah. So, okay. Trust Jesus. But how many know that we should be able to trust one another in the Lord because we're people of integrity? We're people of our word. Amen. But you're absolutely right. He's always trustworthy, isn't he? He doesn't lie. But first of all, we need to have a goal. Where are we going? What am I doing next? What's the next step, Lord? Sometimes, you know, the only thing that God's going to give you is the next step. I want you to do this. Okay. If you're willing to just do that, then God will show you the next. Nehemiah 4:1. It happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. These are the enemies of Jews. You think about this as being Satan who gets upset when you set yourself to do the will of God. He's going to try to derail you. So he used criticism. He also used threat of war, armed raiders. Well, what did they do? They called on the Lord. They did the only logical thing, sensible thing to do, amen, is to call on the name of the Lord for deliverance. Nehemiah 4:6, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the walls of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. Satan hates productivity. He hates fruitfulness. He doesn't want us to be accomplishing anything for the kingdom. Are you hearing me? So they all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But they did the right thing in verse 9. We prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. So here we see a cooperation, amen, not just praying to God, but also setting a guard. How many know that the Lord told us that we need to watch and pray? That's our responsibility. Amen. We need to be on the alert. We pray to God, but then we need to also be alert. Amen. And on guard because our adversary, amen, is looking for someone to devour, isn't he? And so then the enemy uses false accusations against them because that didn't work. He got some people to gossip, to start some gossip. Got some people to go on Facebook and say some really nasty, false things about them. Why? To try to defeat them, to discourage them. You see, God is an encourager, but the devil's a discourager. And to stop the work. So I continued the work with what? Even greater determination. What was his response? Instead of stopping and yielding and listening to the wrong voice, he says, I have been given a responsibility, a mission by God. And by the grace of God, I'm going to complete the task that he's given me. Because God would never call you to a task without giving you the grace to complete it. But you got to stay focused. You got to keep your mind in the right place and know that God will give you the grace to do what he's called you to do. Amen. And you're going to experience opposition when you set yourself to do the will of God for your life. Count on it. Amen. But guess what? The enemy cannot stop you from doing what God called you to do unless you let him. And you don't have to let him. You have to stick to your orders. What did the commander-in-chief say? What is my mission? What are my marching orders? That's what I'm going to stay true to. Amen. And yeah, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be threats. There's going to be gossip. If you're living out the will of God for your life, guess what? People are going to lie about you. People are going to twist things that you said. Yeah. It's amazing. Sometimes I can preach a certain message. And one person got this from this and another person got that from the message. And some people got something that was totally not even in the message. But, you know, the enemy's at work, isn't he? He tries to get into our heads and he's a twisting serpent, right? He tries to twist things up in our heads and pervert things. And what did you mean by that? Well, I meant that I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. And if you're open to the truth, well, the Lord will give his grace to you. Amen. But Nehemiah had to deal with all kinds of diversions from the enemy, you know, because he knows, the enemy knows that if he can get you to step outside the will of God, he can defeat you. He just wants you to step outside the will of God. He'll offer you good things to get you distracted, to get you detoured. You know, guys, even when we come together and we worship, we have to learn how to discipline ourselves to say, you know, the bathroom break can wait. And if I don't fault anybody if they have a weak bladder. All right. But if you do, sit in the back. I didn't see anybody run out of here yet, so that's a good thing. But the reason I'm saying this is because my actions here can distract somebody else from hearing from God. Maybe they're in a place where they really want to worship and go deep into God and they want to hear from the Lord. And all of a sudden I'm getting up and I'm doing something that's just a complete distraction. Come on. And it's not that you meant to do that, but if we're not careful, we can cause distraction. Okay. And hinder what God's trying to accomplish. I believe as a congregation, we should be focused. And it's always better when everybody is together. We're singing together. Amen. We're praying together. We're coming together in unity because there's strength in unity. In fact, that's the place where God commands the blessing. God designed us to be part of a family, part of a fellowship. Amen. And so be careful. You know, even when we're gathering here, that we don't in any way interfere with what the Lord's trying to accomplish. I give you an example, and if I looked at you, I'm not talking about you. But I'd be at the, sometimes up here praying. It's happened before. And a well-meaning brother or sister will come up and just put their hand on me and start praying over me. Well, I understand that their heart was to, you know, to pray for me and to whatever, to help, you know, get this guy saved or whatever it was. But you know, we need to ask permission. We need to be careful because sometimes people, they just want to have a quiet time with God. When we come together, guys, I'd like to see the congregation really say, you know what, we need to come and we need to come focused. We need to come focused to seek the Lord. We need to be prayerful, amen, and mindful of the Spirit of the Lord and what God wants to accomplish here in us. It's great to meet and catch up, amen, but we also need to understand that there's a time when we need to get together and we need to pray and we need to prepare ourselves, amen, so that we corporately are in a position and a place where God can work through us here, even during the service. God wants to release the gifts of His Spirit through His body. But we've got to have a disciplined and a focused life, amen, and a commitment to seek the Lord's face while we're here. Is that making sense? You still love me? All right, I'll preach to you then. I heard that back there. But Nehemiah wouldn't be detracted, you know, from his mission. And then another thing the enemy did is he sent false prophets. Have you ever had somebody say, I have a word of the Lord for you? And when you heard it, you're like, huh? I hope that's not true. Or it might even been a nice thing, but it wasn't the right thing. You know, sometimes people flatter. Okay, and we have to be careful that we're not using flattery to get an audience with somebody, all right, or to get somebody to like us because we say nice things. How about speaking the truth in love? How many are always nice to your kids? I didn't see a single hand go up. What's up with that? You can't always be nice to your kids, right? Sometimes you just got to get straight with them, and you need to correct them, amen. But it's not because you hate them, it's because you love them that much. And sometimes I understand people are not going to like you. Sometimes you just got to get used to that. Sometimes speaking the truth is not going to be popular. In Nehemiah 6:10, it says, later I went to visit Shemaiah, son of Deliah, and grandson of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home. He said, let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the door shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. But I replied, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. What's going on? Now the enemy's trying to scare him to run away from his mission, run away from his responsibilities. So even after these death threats came, Nehemiah wouldn't be deterred. He would not leave his mission. Even to spare his own life. You know, God's looking for some people that will not leave their mission no matter what. Amen? That are going to stay focused, that are going to stay committed to the end. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Nehemiah was determined to complete his God-given mission at any cost, and so he had to remain focused in order to do that. Now, why was Nehemiah an overcomer? Why was he able to successfully finish the wall? Because he stayed focused. So in this book, obviously, in the book of Nehemiah, you see, and I would encourage you to go back and read it because it's just full. It's beautiful. But we see an earthly wall. But today, you and I are building God's kingdom, amen, made up of living stones, of souls, of people, the redeemed humanity. And as believers, we can easily lose our focus if we forget our purpose. Think about that. You can lose focus if you forget your purpose. You see, some cases, churches have become nothing more than just social clubs. It's all about getting together and having fellowship and meeting with my friends and shooting the breeze. And there's a time for fellowship, guys, but we need to understand what our mission is and our purpose. Why are we here? What are we actually trying to accomplish here? Well, God's given us a commission, hasn't he? He's already called us to join him and become his ambassadors, his representatives. And God will anoint us, amen, and appoint us. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we can do everything that God has called us to do because the Lord is going to be with us. We just need to learn how to trust him, amen, and not be distracted, not be detoured from all the distractions of the enemy, the ways that he's trying to get into your head and to get you off course and to get you back into your past and getting you back into the woe is me mode and just focusing on what's wrong and what's broken in my life all the time rather than what God is doing in my life. And how much I need to be thankful that the Lord in the first place was willing to save me. That he died for me. Gave his life for me. Aren't you glad, hallelujah, that we have a home in the heavens, not made by hands. There's a place that God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Those who belong to him, the redeemed. We understand that this world is temporary, it's fleeting. Again, back to the beginning, how many days left do we have? We don't know. But I want everyone here to understand the importance and the value of living your life for the one who died for you and rose again and who has commissioned you and has called you to partner with him, to go and bear fruit in this world, to be salt and to be light, to be influences for the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is with you and you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, my martyrs. You will give your life up for God, amen, for the will of God. Jesus said, he who will save his life will lose it. But he who will give his life in this world, amen, will find it. Hallelujah. Romans 12 says, to offer your bodies to him as what? Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. That's the will of God for us. So we got to be careful to stay focused and following Jesus requires an investment. Did you know that? There's something that I need to invest here in this relationship. I don't know, but there are some relationships, men and women, you know, that are married that seem to be one-sided. One's always doing for the other doesn't do anything for the other. Hello. I don't know about you, but I think that the Lord has done so much for us already that it should be our reasonable service to give ourselves back to him, amen, to love him back, to serve him for the rest of our days, to store for ourselves treasures in heaven, but most importantly, that we'll glorify the Father and we'll put a smile on the face of Jesus, amen, and hear him say in that day, well done. I want to hear him say that. How about you? It requires an investment. The investment of a temporary life for that which will be. Are you willing to make the investment? The devil knows this, so he attempts to interrupt or break your focus. He doesn't want you to commit yourself. He doesn't want you to live a focused life. He's going to look for all kinds of ways to keep you distracted. Some people can't put their phone down long enough to listen to a message. They're so distracted. They don't even realize how short their attention span is because the enemy does that. He's training our minds to be short, our attention span to be short, so that we can't concentrate long enough to get the word down in our spirit. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, guys, we got to get beyond the snack to the banquet. God has provided for us a banquet. In his presence, he's given us his word. Amen. There's no reason for any Christian to be malnourished. God makes everything available to us to be healthy, to be strong, and to be productive in the kingdom. Hallelujah. But if we allow lesser things to distract us, if we don't stay focused, then the devil will successfully rob you of your inheritance. That's what he's after. He's after your faith. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get you into fear. Because when we're in fear, we try to save ourselves. That's kind of scary. I don't want to do that, Lord. How many have discovered that when you do things that God tells you to do, even though it goes contrary to what your nature might be or what you may be feeling, even if it looks scary, but if God says do it, do it. And guess what? God will provide for you the boldness, the grace. Amen. To walk in His love and to be filled with His love and not be afraid of losing your life or afraid of death. Guys, we should already have committed ourselves. We should have already set that. Amen. Bar said, that's it. I've committed myself, my life, the rest of my days to serve my King. I'm not going back. There's no turning back. You need to burn the bridge behind you. Well, I'm going to leave the bridge there just in case things don't work out. I can go back. How many addicts are doing that? They're leaving that bridge there just in case it's not working out so they can go back and get high again. Amen. And it's this gerbil wheel existence. Never becoming productive because they're distracted. Isn't that what drugs do? Isn't that why the Lord told us to be sober-minded? So we can think, so we can concentrate, hallelujah, so we can pray, so we can hear clearly, hallelujah. If you stay focused on following Jesus closely each day, you will finish your course with joy. This is it. Day by day, step by step, keep your focus. Keep your eye on the prize. You've got a goal, amen? It's to see Jesus, amen, that day, and hear Him say, well done. Because you've lived out the purpose of God for your life. You've done well, my good and faithful servant. You were like with Paul, I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. He suffered for it, but he knew it would be worth it in eternity. Because he understood that this present life was fleeting. It was so temporary. But that eternal life was of much greater value to him. God's looking for someone who will commit themselves and be loyal and say, Lord, I'm not going to allow the devil to distract me anymore. Amen. God's looking for people that will seek him. Because the Lord said, if you seek, you'll find. And guys, seeking means you have to have a focus. You have to be focused on discovering Him, knowing Him, hearing Him, becoming familiar with His voice, knowing His word. So when God is speaking to you, you know that that's the Lord speaking. Amen. And then He's looking for a heart that is fully committed so that He has someone who is user friendly that He can call on. Amen. And know that this person is going to say yes. That's what it means to be a friend of God, is to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. How many want to be a friend of God? You know, sometimes we'll sing that song, I am a friend of God. But they're going out and getting high and sleeping around and whatever else. No, you're not a friend of God. I'm sorry. You're actually an enemy. I am a friend of God. Who's a friend of God? A friend of God is a lover of Jesus. A friend of God is an obedient believer. Amen? I want to be a friend of God. The Lord uses illustrations to emphasize the necessity of counting the cost before we set out to follow Him. Hallelujah. You know, one time I remember a brother came in here. Actually, it was a couple. And it was before the service. They came in, they sat down. And there was a number of us up here praying, you know. And he said, you know, when I came in here and I saw people at the altar praying, he said, that was what sold me. He says, that's why I started coming. We got to keep focused, guys. Why are we here? What is our mission? Our mission is to save, amen, the lost, to reach out for Jesus, amen, invite people to Jesus. And to teach, to equip the saints, amen, for the work of the ministry, as each one of us has been called to be an ambassador for the Lord. I would love to see a greater level of commitment, guys, to prayer. Amen. To commitment to what we're doing, amen, for the Lord. Not that it has to be all centered in this place, but that as we as individuals are living our daily lives, that we understand that even when I leave this place, I need to stay focused on what God is calling me to do today. God put somebody on your heart. Maybe God wants you to pray for somebody. Maybe God wants you to reach out to somebody. Maybe you didn't see so-and-so here this morning. Well, maybe give them a call. Say, hey, you doing all right? Need any prayer? Just be open. Be available for the Lord. Stay focused on your mission. Listen to what he said, Luke 14:28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and what? Was not able to finish. So what is Jesus doing here? He's likening our walk to a building project. You know, before a person commits to a building project, they must first sit down and count the cost. It's not enough to begin well. We have to finish well. Amen. I want to finish with joy. And you know, God has joy in the journey. Serving the Lord is a joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So here Jesus likens this Christian life to a building project. So we need to determine whether or not we are really willing to abandon our lives wholeheartedly to the Lord. Otherwise, we might start off in a blaze of glory and then fizzle out. I heard one illustration of this bottle rocket Christians. Start out with a big bang and then fizzle out real quick, right? And I've been there because I didn't have a foundation, and yet I was trying, you know, to get right with God. And the enemy kept distracting me, detouring me, offering me other things to get me off course again. And a lot of times it was the fear of man in the sense that I wanted to please my friends. That became more important to me than anything else, is to please and to be accepted by my friends. Has anybody beside myself been there? Anybody ever compromise what you knew was right because you wanted to please people? Because that's the truth. Focused people are overcomers. The world doesn't have any respect for half-hearted Christians. All right? The world doesn't respect compromising Christians. If you are living for the Lord, the world may hate you, but guess what? They will respect you. You know, with Jesus, people either loved him or hated him. I don't think there was anybody in between there. People loved Jesus or they hated him. And the same thing is true. The people of God will love you, but the people who hate God will hate you because you belong to him, because you're a child of God. Philippians 3:14 again, Paul said, I press on to reach the end of the race. In other words, he had to stay focused on his mission. You know, two things, failures and successes can both be a hindrance to reaching our God-given destiny. Failures and successes. Regrets of the past keep some people from moving forward into the future. Successes of the past can also keep some folks from pressing on as well. In other words, oh, been there, done that. Let me tell you about the good old days. Or I remember back 40 years ago. Well, what's happening today, brother? Are we with the Lord today? Are we walking with the Lord? Are we bearing fruit today? Amen. If not, let's get back to the place where we're in revival again. Amen. Personal revival. Amen. And if we're all personally revived and we come together, we have corporate revival. Amen. Because it's not an event. It's a way of life for us, walking in the Spirit. Because you can come here and you can get blessed and refreshed, but you can leak right out. You can walk out of here, and a little while later, because you're not staying focused, all of a sudden you find yourself kind of getting dry again. How many know it's our responsibility to keep the supply of oil? God will provide the oil, but it's my responsibility to keep the flame. Amen. The priest would have to stay in the tabernacle, amen, to keep the flame going, keep the supply of oil. Hallelujah. So it's not all God. It's a partnership with the Lord. We come and we drink, but he makes it available to us. Hallelujah. His presence. Paul had a lot to regret, didn't he? He had a lot to regret, but he made it his aim, you know, to forget those things that are behind him, both the good and the bad, because he was both a Pharisee and a terrorist. So he said, no, brothers and sisters, verse 13, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Understand that the enemy is going to, a lot of times he's going to come to you with your past. And you need to be disciplined enough to say, wait a minute, that's not God. I've already repented of that. If you've repented of it, you don't have to live in that condemnation. The enemy wants to heap it back on you. Why? Because he's trying to detour you from your mission. He's trying to get you into self-condemnation so that you will stop serving the Lord. He just wants to get us into a place where we sit around and say, woe is me. Are you hearing me, somebody? All of us can think about bad things and feel sorry for ourselves, but how many here are glad that Jesus didn't do that? He had a lot of opposition, didn't he? He was despised. He was rejected, but he kept his focus, amen, throughout his mission here, his journey. And he set an example for us that we should go and do the same. If you've lost your focus, then get refocused. Get refocused. Spend some time. Let God, amen, speak to you. Discipline your mind. When you come to pray, sometimes there's been a lot that's gone on, amen, during our day. But I fully believe that you should set time aside where you're just praying alone with God. Come on, somebody. Yes, we pray through the day, but we need to set time aside to be alone with God. Because God wants to speak to us. And he wants to hear from us. But when we get ready to pray, guess what? The enemy's going to try right away to distract you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to even come up sometimes and say, there's no point in you praying. God never hears you anyways. Oh, how long have you been asking God for that? Still nothing. The devil's a liar. Through faith and perseverance, we receive the promises. Amen. We keep our hand to the plow. We don't look back. We press into God and we believe God and we declare, amen, his promises. And we thank God in advance, amen, for answered prayer. And we know if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. And God will save our lost loved ones. Stay focused. Keep praying. Amen. Don't give up on them. Pray every day over them. Amen. Stay focused. I want to share one example. When I was back in the early 90s, I was with a brother who was doing a lot of ministry, and we did prison ministry together, but he did also some ministry down up in Hilltop in Tacoma. And I remember we were sitting down with this one guy, and he was he was homeless, talking about how tired he was, and he's just tired, you know. And start asking him about, well, what are your goals? You know, you have any goals in life? Oh, yeah, I want to do this. I want to get off the street. I want to get clean. I want to get an apartment. I want to, you know, get a good job. I want to have a family, whatever, you know. So he had all kinds of goals and ideas of things that he wanted to accomplish. But there was one common denominator there that kept him bound, and that was a lack of focus. This is what happens, is the enemy keeps him either through the drugs, you know, or through situations, through discouragement. He keeps him in this place to where they can't follow through, to where they actually reach the goal. In other words, they'll get so close, they're starting to even put some money aside. How many times you heard, oh, we're doing great, I'm doing great right now. I've been clean for several weeks, you know, but the enemy doesn't like that. He likes to keep his people bound up, amen, and in prison. But Jesus came to set the captive free, amen, and the power of God can rescue anyone, amen, and break any addiction. But we've got to be focused and we've got to be committed as an individual. My responsibility is to say, you know what, I may not feel like this, but I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it. I may not feel like quitting this habit, but I'm going to do it because God wants me to live clean. I mean, He wants me to be sober. And if God has called me to be sober, then He's going to provide for me the grace to be sober and to stay sober. Amen? Amen. Because my faith is in His power and not in my own ability alone. So it's about partnering with God. TV commercials. So many of you know what I'm talking about. You watch a few minutes of television, and then the commercial blasts in, right? Some of you are beyond that. You don't even watch. I don't have TV, by the way, but I do have YouTube. You know? But, you know, what is it doing? It's causing a shortness of concentration, because you have 5 minutes of programming, and all of a sudden now you're off again on a commercial. Isn't that how it is? It's constant distraction. Why? Because we need to be able to focus and concentrate. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard someone once said that in the 1700s, an eighth grade education would be equal to a master's degree today. Now think about how few distractions they had. They didn't have all the stuff to capture our imaginations and get us off track. So you and I really have to be careful to discipline ourselves, to be deliberate about it, and set some goals and say, Lord, show me what I need to do. What's the next step? And I'm going to set a goal, and I'm going to follow through, amen, with the instruction you've given me. And I need to discipline myself. Even though my flesh is going to want to do something else, I have to tell my flesh, amen, you're going to obey the Spirit of the Lord. Again, your mind needs to be controlled. And you can control it by the grace that God gives you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can control your mind, but you have to discipline. You have to be deliberate, amen. And habit becomes a discipline, doesn't it? Or discipline becomes a habit. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship, gathering, witnessing. You know, guys, if we don't stay focused, we'll easily get distracted, detoured. All right? Yeah. And even though we may mean well, we have to do well. In other words, a lot of people say, well, I will try. How about just do it? Because when you say, I'm going to try, now you're giving yourself that bridge to go back over. Well, I might not be able to do it. If it's God's will, you can do it. If it's what God told you to do, you can do it. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ. So I just need to say, I'm not going to try, I'm going to do it. Well, brother, why don't you come to church? Well, I'll try. How about just doing it? You see, what they're saying is they're giving themselves a way out often is what it is. I can say, well, I tried, but I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Well, God knows what you are capable of doing. And I know that I haven't always been successful in life. I've failed many times myself, you know. And most of the time, the reason why I failed is because I gave up. I quit. I started to do something. It was productive. I was off to a good start. Something happened. I got distracted, or I got detoured, or the enemy came in and I allowed him to discourage me. And he got me off course. You see, I can have an altar call today and we might have a great response to the altar call of everyone saying, yes, we're going to commit ourselves to the will of God. From this day forward, we're going to fully commit ourselves to the work and what God's doing and discover what His will is and start to do what God has called me to do. We can do that. Amen. But the question is, are you going to be able to focus and maintain that focus long enough to actually accomplish what God has called you to do? Because we can sometimes be inspired by those around us as a groupthink. And say, well, everybody else is doing it, so I'll do it too. But guys, we need to first of all be personally responsible to the Lord. Amen? And say, though none go with me, still I will follow. Because I'm going to be an example for others. If everybody does that, everybody says, I'm going to commit myself and be an example. And everybody's going to be here. Everybody's going to be doing what God's told you to do. Amen? Prayer. Peter, one more, okay? He lost his focus. Remember when he was out on the water? It says Matthew 14:30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. What happened to Peter? Well, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out on the water. And so he got up and he got out of the boat and he went on and he walked on the water. But then what happened? Distracted. He began to look around, okay, and evaluate the situation through his natural understanding. Well, I'm in a storm. Natural reasoning says you can't be walking on water, especially in a storm. And you see how he got distracted because he took his eyes, you know how it goes. He took his eyes off who? Off Jesus. Focus. Stay focused. If you want to be successful, if you want to finish well, you have to discipline yourself and commit yourself to being focused to the will, to the mission of God for your life. Amen. If we stay focused and we don't give up, we will see the salvation of God in the Northwest. We will see our loved ones saved. We will see our city turned around for Jesus if we stay focused and don't give up. It doesn't matter how dark things appear. Our God is bigger. He's greater. He's able, and we are well able to take the land with the help of the Lord. Hallelujah. Stay focused. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Hallelujah.